Somebody pray for me. It been a day for me. Yeah.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back with more Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Again, just to wrap up the first night of the No Excuses Summer Pro League down at Fondy.
I saw some of it on Facebook Live, but, you know, obviously didn't watch the entire thing.
Good
like
games.
Like the dunk contest good portion.
I'll tell you something right now. They had two guys, a young kid that was about 6'8", 6'9", and a dunking kid that only was about 5'10", jumped over four guys after taking a ball off one of the guys' heads. So it was fantastic. But a good first night. But Mondays and Wednesdays, now through the end of August, you know, Fondy, it's free. NBA talent, you really got to check it out.
Real quick, I'm going to tell you about the new app. Go to your local app store, whether it is iTunes or Google Play. Search ESPN Houston, search ESPN 97.5. Listen to all your favorite programming, including The Usual Suspects, from anywhere in the world. And finally, Barry Laminack decides to show up in studio because he just doesn't feel like it's necessary to show up to
no,
a segment on time.
He was signing autographs in the
hall. What is he doing?
You know, if you don't want me on the show, Joel.
He was signing autographs.
Just take it up with management. You don't have to lock me out of the studio.
No, Michelle, actually, he's trying to be modest for a change. Michelle actually brought packages of buns and weenies. And
what?
Barry was signing them in the hallway for people on other floors.
I was.
Want me to sign your wiener?
Boy, if I had a nickel for every wiener I've signed, I would have a lot of nickels.
You know what else?
Hmm?
What in the heck? First of all, the loudest man on the planet was all over you on Twitter and then had no idea that you were on vacation. I just walked down the hall and Creighton goes, Jesus, John, did you use Lysol in there? Because Barry, after all, I go, Patrick, he was out yesterday, and he's here today, and it's really not an issue. But
yeah,
Patrick Creighton was just all over it on Twitter.
He was. He really was. And that's the thing. My planning was meticulous. I was like, you know what? July 4th is the perfect day. I don't have to go to work. I did. I wouldn't subject you guys to that. I would, but I didn't have to, so I didn't.
I wasn't worried about it. I mean, you weren't drinking Old Mill or anything like that. If you were drinking Old Milwaukee, it would really need fumigation. But, I mean, the thing is, from a vacation standpoint, too, you planned it well. But most people in radio will strategically take off the week of the British Open, which is the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Right.
Because baseball's off. There is no basketball or football. Training camps haven't started. The British Open means even the golf, if you're a golf fanatic, is like way early in the morning. And there's absolutely nothing going on. So it's harder because you have to actually do work to do your job. So most radio guys take vacation that week.
Are you?
No.
No? So when is that?
I'm not afraid.
Is it next week? Yeah. So I'll be in Wichita. So I'm off the 13th. But I'm doing the shows from Wichita on the 14th and then like the 17th and 18th.
Because those work well. That's good. So Nick and I will be doing
Why
some
you
more
hating?
Shows. Because those road shows. The last one you did in San Antonio, those things, not your fault. But that studio you were in.
The studio went down like one time, but otherwise there was no problem.
It was just a tiny delay.
I got a real issue with it. I'm going to take up with management. I'm just like,
it was a technical issue from the studio. I didn't think otherwise. I think it went fine. The people that I talked to said, yeah, you couldn't even tell you weren't there. Other than when it went down. Yeah. Why'd you look at me crazy?
Because I don't know why you're getting sensitive. I was just kidding about
No, you weren't.
No, because you were talking about a fake skyline behind you, and you kept saying you were in a box. And
yeah. But I thought it was fine. We'll see how it goes this time. I don't know. Maybe Wichita doesn't have.
We were excited about you leaving. And
yeah, I know.
Nick
you wanted
to get back in the co-pilot chair.
I see how it is, guys. Yeah. I see how it is.
Nick likes that co-pilot chair
now.
He's
getting
comfy. He's got your schedule down. He worked Sunday. He worked Monday.
Sunday didn't go very well.
Did you do any reads? Sunday didn't go well? What happened?
Could I have?
Yeah, you should have.
For who?
don't know, steal some of Barry's money.
Yeah. Did you, what happened on Sunday?
I did some drinking Saturday night, even though I knew I was supposed to do the show.
Uh-huh.
I only drank like six beers, but he's like, Shock is looking at me like, you drank six beers in 5 hours? Are you hungover? I'm like, no, I'm not hungover. I'm just, you know, I'm a little tired. That's all.
Did you guys fight? Did you ruin the show?
No. I might have ruined the show, not because we fought.
Hell. Okay. That's good. Yeah. That's thank God. Okay. I don't want to bring this up.
Yeah, you do.
I do. There's this weird, I saw this on Barstool Sports. Did you see this thing where Tupac and Madonna?
Yeah, you know, I didn't see it of all places.
First of all, I had no idea that they were dating.
I didn't either, but I saw it on a crawl during the Today Show.
Really?
And I stopped. I'm like fixing Taylor breakfast, and I got the Today Show on, and I look up and see the crawl and says, Tupac broke up with Madonna because she was white. I go, time out. What did I miss? When did they get together?
I had no idea, and then I saw this letter. He wrote this very nice letter to her, and he basically just said, look, for my street cred and for everything I've built, I can't be with you. He said, for you to be seen with a black man wouldn't in any way jeopardize your career. If anything, it would make you seem that much more open and exciting. But for me, at least, in my previous perception, I felt due to my image, and he put image in quotes, I would be letting down half of the people who made me what I thought I was. I never meant to hurt you. But like, he broke up with her, basically just like, yeah, look, I can't be seen with some freaky white girl. I'm going to have to let you go.
Madonna dated every damn body.
Yeah. That was the other thing is he said he got hurt. Like, he got upset because she said something to the effect of, here it is. This is weird. In an interview where you said, quote, I'm off to rehabilitate all the rappers and basketball players or something to that effect. Those words cut me deep, seeing how I had never known you to be with any rappers besides myself. Now, I didn't know Tupac was the jealous type.
I didn't. Yeah, I would think he'd be the and just brush it off and keep going.
Like, whatever.
Right.
But apparently not. It hurt his feelings. I mean, that's a weird pairing.
It's of course, she and Rodman kind of made sense in a way and also was weird.
Did it?
I they're both weird in their own way. And Rodman seems like anything freaky is perfect for him.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I mean,
like Carmen Electra and Rodman was even weirder.
That's very weird. Yeah, that one didn't make sense at all. But Tupac and Madonna, I would have never...
I never had any idea.
And then he breaks up with her just because it's bad for his image. Well, what the hell did you get? What did you expect was going to happen, Tupac? Like, you knew who she was before you got with her. I think he just got his feelings hurt and thought, you know what, I'm going to end this.
Or I think he wanted to, and then he started hearing all the chit-chatter about him dating a white girl, and then he changed his mind. That's what I'm thinking.
It could be.
I'm thinking he got some backlash.
Well, you're the Tupac aficionado. Yeah, did you even know they were together?
No, I had no clue.
Isn't that crazy?
I had no clue. I mean, Howard Stern can make you admit to everything. It wasn't an interview with Howard Stern, right?
No, this was a letter that they wrote that TMZ had. I don't know where they got the letter from. But they, it's just some
letter.
Or she
joined Howard Stern to talk about the letter. Okay, but yeah, I mean, I had no clue. I don't think anybody did, especially in a time where, when you think about it, in the 90s, Madonna may have been past her prime, but she was still definitely relevant.
Oh, no.
She was relevant for sure.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't past her prime. That's when she was in her prime.
No, she wasn't in her prime.
In the 90s?
The late, like, talking about 95, 90s, 96?
She was still
she's
relevant,
40-something.
But I think her prime was probably late 80s.
Late 80s, absolutely. 100%.
No, that was when she was getting started. That wasn't her prime.
No.
No.
She was started in the early to mid 80s.
Yes.
And then she was in her prime late 80s, and then she was still relevant in the 90s, I would say.
How old is she now? She's
in her 50s.
No, she's got to be in her 60s.
58.
Boom.
She was born in 1958, so she's
boom, Dr.
58.
No.
Like...
New king of pop culture in there.
Relax. Well, it was just... Calm down, bro. It's not
I'm
a big
good.
Deal.
So what was the, like... So, here we go. Like a Virgin was 84.
Yeah.
Her prime was Erotica. That's when everyone would have banged Madonna. And that was around 92. Music was 2000, so somewhere around...
Music, like, was her attempt at, like, a comeback.
Yeah, so I would say, I'm sticking to my mid-90s. She still had her fastball.
I don't think she did, because she was 38 by the time... Like, 1998, she was, like, 38. She was past her prime. There was so
but
many
I'm
other...
But I'm saying, this came out in 95.
Okay, so she's 35. There were so many other pop stars by then at 95. She was not the big queen in 1995 by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, it's all right. You can be wrong on this, too, if you want to be. I'm trying to look at her filmography.
Everybody's so salty.
She did a she did Evita in 96.
Which sucked. And was, again, another chance to grasp at straws and hang on.
Yeah, there was Four Rooms and Blue in the Face in 95. I don't remember
blue
that.
Blue in her face?
I was going to make another joke, but I decided not to.
I didn't.
I think she blew the wrong spot. Never mind. I'm trying to look at, like, tours. Yeah, I don't know. I think you're wrong here, Nick.
I think we're right.
Who?
I'm
you
with
and Nick?
Nick, yeah. I'm with Nick. She was in her prime in the late 80s. She was still hanging on in the 90s. And then she was desperate by mid-90s.
100%. Phenomenal answer, Joel Blank.
Thank you very much.
I just Googled a picture of Madonna 1995.
Not to mention, I mean, nothing to take away the fact she keeps herself in great shape, but...
Like I said, she was still relevant, but past her prime.
Is she past her prime?
Yeah. Yeah, if not for the top outer of the nip showing there, no one's looking at that
but
and going, ooh, yeah.
Wow. All right, so that's Tupac with Madonna. And that's the other thing, Madonna has no ass. I'm surprised that any rapper would get with Madonna, being the fact that she's limited in that department.
That's the thing, she almost works out too much.
Yeah, she's got I don't like those workout, like those like super muscular, like CrossFit chicks.
Right.
I don't want a chick that can whoop my ass. I want a chick that's got, you know, you can be toned.
That's a tough deal for you.
Just makes slim pickings.
But if you
for
become
sure.
famous, it supplements for what you lack. Like Taylor Swift, she's famous. No one really talks about the fact she has absolutely no ass.
Oh my God. She's
She's like a board.
No one talks about it. Like they mention it every now and then, but that's not really the topic when it comes down to Taylor Swift.
That's true. It's because she makes great music. That's why. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised at that, seeing some of these pictures that Tupac was.
Yeah, I had no idea. And I don't think that's what I said.
So
I don't think it was it under wraps or something? Because I don't think it was ever really publicized anywhere.
I don't know.
Crazy.
Strange.
So we'll get to this. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was a fan last night. And I used the fan in quotes.
Uh-oh.
But there was a fan last night watching the Astros game who decided to be offended by a tradition in every ballpark in Major League Baseball, and it got a little ugly on Twitter, surprisingly enough. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston. Hello.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I want to let you know that I'm proud of you.
Four?
Tyler. I'm not going to throw Nick under the bus.
Okay,
Tyler.
Do it. Doesn't matter. Throw him under
was,
the bus.
No,
cares?
Tyler was convinced that today at this time, you would already have had a bitch fest of complaints about pretty much everything.
Me?
Yeah.
Like, what would I be complaining about?
I don't know. He just came into
he just
the studio.
And he was convinced that you were, like, there was enough things that bothered you, I think, starting with the Steve guy and the people that were coming at you on Twitter and other things, that he thought it was going to be a complete bitch fest, and it hasn't been.
No, I think that...
You're bordering on the 20 again today, which is weird.
that time
there's
off did
room.
Me some good.
There's still room.
There's still
but,
time.
Yeah,
don't
but,
let me look at the text.
Right, exactly.
But no, it's one of those things where I think if I wouldn't have been drinking, it wouldn't have bothered me at all.
Okay.
Except for Steve. He's such a troll, though. I just can't stand that dude.
Is he like a regular listener? Or?
I don't know. I just try to be as mean as possible to that dude. he won't go away. No matter how mean I am, he's like, it's all right. I'm like, why do you even follow me? You're like, why? Just go away. Like, I called him the C word, and he's still, I'm like, if someone called me that, I'd be like,
I'm not tweeting at you no more.
That's too far. I thought maybe that was it. Like, I had to resort to saying that.
There's too many people out there that find it so entertaining and amusing to, like, get in the middle of our stuff and say things. And it's like, we don't sit there and break down what you do and your hobbies and all these other things, but they feel like it's their job, almost like someone's mom, per se, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Basically chiming in on everything, like a doorbell. And it gets annoying.
Yeah, it does.
Did I mention it's like somebody's mom? I mean, I'm just saying. Without saying.
So there's... Here was a question about the Astros, if you want to field it.
Yes, please.
I see Houston and Boston on a collision course for the ALCS. Do we need another starting pitcher to compete with the Sox staff? First of all, we don't play baseball.
Well, there's a lot of we's going around lately, just so you know.
Oh, really?
There's a ton of people that are using we's, yeah.
It's amazing. All these Astro fans just showed up.
True.
I am of the opinion that, yes, I would like to see the team go out and get another front end of the rotation guy, whether it's a two, a one. I think that when you're facing some of these teams in the playoffs, you just can't have enough pitching. So it's, you know, what you're the fact that they're putting up so many runs now, it's kind of like the Rockets and their offense in the regular season. That's great. Once the postseason rolls around and you're facing ones and twos every game, it's going to be a little bit different. Bullpens, you know, you're gonna start getting to the back end of the bullpen right away. So you're gonna start seeing, you know, setup and closers in the seventh and eighth inning after you get past a one or a two. So pitching gets a lot harder, and I think you have to have some of that as well. You're not just going to be able to hit your way through to the World Series. So, yeah, it wouldn't bother me if they added a third guy. And I don't know that you necessarily...
You and I have been talking about this all year.
But I don't know that you necessarily need it to beat the Red Sox. I think as is this team...
To win the World Series, I think you do.
I think as is this team can get to the World Series. Yeah. As is. Healthy. I'll say
true.
Healthy.
True.
I think this team has enough to get to the World Series with Keuchel and McCullers. You can run out there. And then whoever you think your number three is, whether it's Morton, whether it's McHugh, depending on how he does post All-Star break. But I think one of those guys, and your third starter may only see one game in a series.
Right.
You know what I mean? Keuchel's going to pitch twice and McCullers is going to pitch twice. You're talking about two top 10 pitchers this year.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Someone was asking me. That's like, and my answer to the question is simply, first of all, we've said all along they need another pitcher.
Yep.
But secondly, I'm not even going to pass judgment on this team till we get past the trade deadline and waiver, you know, waiver claims after that, simply because we don't know what roster they're going to take to the postseason. And I said one of the things that you make the mistake in doing, just like we did in basketball, is if you try and judge this team now as opposed to the team that's going into the postseason, you set yourself up for failure. Or disappointment.
But let me ask you, though. Let's assume that the Red Sox go out and address third base. The Yankees address their first base issue.
Yankees got some pitching issues, too, I think.
Yeah, they do. But they let's just, you know, some of those deficiencies. Is there, if the Red Sox go out and get a third baseman, the Yankees go out and get a first baseman, you know, is that still going to be enough to beat this team? I mean, you look at how deep this lineup is.
You haven't mentioned the team that scares me the most.
Who?
It's a team that's taken two series from them, yeah.
Okay.
I still think the Indians, when all is said and done, will be
fair enough.
The team to reckon with. And they do have quality pitching. They do have a better-than-average lineup. Granted, the regular season's a totally different story, but you know, they've taken two series from the Astros. But that's the team, and they're well-managed. They've, you know, Andrew Miller is a biatch coming out of the pen, and they've got a decent closer. That's a team that I think is more complete than any of the teams, regardless of what they go out and do, that I think has underachieved to this point, but I think is a team that scares me more than the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I think any of those three teams other than the Astros are who you're probably looking at.
Yeah.
I feel like this team has enough when you look at some of these guys that are giving them help right now. You know what I mean? These are fives in most rotations.
Brad Peacock has been fantastic.
Right. And so that's going to be a middle relief guy for you. That's going to be if you're number three. If Colin McHugh, if they don't make a move, Colin McHugh in his first start in the postseason goes an inning and a half. Guess who's coming in?
Yep.
It's going to be Brad Peacock. And I'm okay with that.
Because you still need the versatility of Devo.
Yep.
When you just have to get a couple of outs or you need a guy to get two innings, that's your guy.
And so adding this third arm is going to be great, but not necessarily. It's not 100% required for them. And I say that because, again,
for your end result of
Getting to the World Series.
See, I think I would say this. I don't think they have any problem getting there, but I think to win it, when you go up a go up against the Nationals or Dodgers,
probably the Dodgers,
you're going to need. I just feel like all along that's why I've said they got to go out and address it, because to win it all, not just get there, but to win it all, I think they still need another starter.
Well, the one thing that it does for you is it allows you to you don't have to worry about setting up your rotation. If you add another one or two, right? Because then you basically, if you add a two, you have two ones and a two. Because McCullers is a one, or pitching like a one. Keuchel is pitching like a one. And whoever you add, even if it's, you know, Cole, let's just throw that out right there. Even though I don't think the Pirates are going to, you know, necessarily make a move right now, because they're
what?
Oh, well,
they've
fallen seven out.
Them to get.
Well, they've fallen seven out, so they might actually still, you know, make that move. Either way, it gives you some flexibility in the rotation. You know what I mean? So you don't have to worry as much about guys pitching on short rests and stuff like that. So that would be great. But I think this team has enough. I really do.
Offensively, it's like we were talking about even last night in the last two games. Regardless of who's pitching, when they put that many runs up and that many hits, they've been averaging 15-plus hits a game. I mean, the way they're knocking the ball around in the past week and a half, the offense can play with anybody at any time. And it's not... It doesn't take anything to say, you know what, they're the best offensive team in baseball 1 through 9. It's just when you get into the playoffs, we know it's kind of like when we say in the NBA that it's going to slow down, it's going to become more of a grind, a half-court game, and things like that. Baseball, you're going to see a ton more of aces. You're going to see a lot more one-run games and low-scoring games, and you're going to be facing some of the best pitchers in baseball. It's going to toughen up, and where I think that it would be nice to have the luxury of having that strong 1-2-3.
This team is fifth in ERA in the majors at 3.91, and they've done that for the most part without their complete rotation.
With duct tape. And
they haven't had McHugh the entire season. Keuchel's missed several starts. McCullers has missed some time. Morton has missed some time. I mean, you had Fires, his bad start. Another guy you can't forget about if he continues to pitch.
Pharmaceutical rep filling in for a few starts.
Yeah. Paulino. Yeah. I mean, this team has done some amazing things with this next man up mentality. So I'm not worried about them. I really am not. If they don't make a move, I'm not going to be distraught like I think some fans will be, because you keep hearing about it over and over.
Yeah.
If they don't do anything, if they stand pat, I'm okay with it.
Okay. I mean, I think if they stand pat, it's really going to be determined by how McHugh and Morton look when they come back. I mean, and Keuchel, and that Keuchel's going to be okay.
Keep in mind, though, there's only going to be about 2 weeks before the trade deadline post All-Star break, because the trade deadline's the
31st. That's why they got to figure it out now.
So they've got to do it in the next 2-3 weeks.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and I don't disagree, but to be more confident and really feel super confident to run the table, I think they need another starter.
Yeah, and you're getting Morton. He'll be activated Friday. McHugh is making
another
his second.
A start.
And then Dallas Keuchel is closer to his own rehab assignment.
Threw in the outfield off of flat ground. Yep. So, yeah, in Atlanta. So, hopefully he's coming. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the great people at Gallery Furniture. Speaking of the Astros, if you go and buy $3,000 worth of furniture at Gallery Furniture right now and the Astros win it all, you get it all free. If you go to galleryfurniture.com, you can get all the details. It's a fantastic promotion. They're coming off their extended 4th of July sale. They're open till 10 o'clock tonight. You can still get in. You can find out all kinds of deals that they got going around Gallery Furniture right now. And it's one of three locations. It's not just the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. You can hit the Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland and find a beautiful new Gallery Furniture showroom. And you can see one right in the heart of the Galleria, Westheimer at Post Oak. All three will have solid wood American-made living room and dining room furniture, fantastic furniture for the whole house, Macapedic and Tempur-Pedic sleep sets with adjustable base. And the fact that right now, as part of the big sales going on around Independence Day, Max says you spend $4,000 on furniture, you get 36% back in accessories. That means you get 36% back, or about $1,600 to $1,800 in accessories if you spend more than $4,000 on furniture right now at Gallery Furniture. Plenty of deals to be had, and all of the main deals remain to be there for you for the taking. That is, you buy today, you get it tonight. There's no back order slips. And as always, Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Joel, Barry, and Nick. We are here until 4. What I want to do, though, right now is give away some tickets to my show tonight. I have a show at the Houston Improv. It's called Couples Therapy Comedy Retreat. Some of the listeners have gone before, had a good time. It's a great date night. If you want to bring a date, hubby, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, come check it out. It's a lot of fun. Great show. It's 4 or 5 comics. We talk about relationships, sex, whatever. And then we do a panel where we answer questions from the audience about relationships, sex, or whatever. A lot of fun. Good times. This is the Houston Improv tonight. Starts at 8. But what I'm going to do is I'll give away 2 pairs of tickets. So 2 winners, 2 tickets each. And we'll do callers number 9 and 10, 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. Callers 9 and 10, you will each win 2 tickets to the show tonight at 8 o'clock. Bring a date. And if
intern
you,
Asteroids, I'm totally going to get you for not showing up.
Ooh. Uh-oh. Was she supposed to be here?
And she's not here.
Asteroids. Grass is grass. Nick, Asteroids. And sympathize. Her future's so bright, she has to wear shades.
Indoors.
At work.
Yes.
So,
but yeah, don't call if you can't go. That's the thing. Don't win the tickets. But all you need to do is give your name and yeah, just a name and an email in case I need to reach you. But a name and email, and I'll leave your tickets at will call. You just show up and give them your name, and the tickets will be waiting on you. So good luck. Callers 9 and 10. Have fun. We'll
you
do
have
it.
Fun.
We'll do
you an, have fun.
You have. We'll do
no,
another
you.
One. We'll do another one at 3:30. I'll give away 2 more pairs of tickets. So
when
if you
are
don't,
you, when are you marriage counseling? That's after the show.
Yeah, it's that's the best part, dude. The panel we bring up. Usually we try to find the couple that's been married the longest in the crowd, and we bring them up, and then it's us comics and this couple, and then we just read questions from the crowd. The questions like somebody asked one time, "How do you find the G spot?" And so it got crazy. Like people
after the F spot?
The what?
F G in the alphabet. So you find the F spot and then the G spot.
Good thing you're not on the panel.
Barry, I'm a little nervous. My name is Myron, but I have this little red pimple. It's very uncomfortable, and I think it causes chafing. You have a solution for me without surgery.
Yeah,
I don't want surgery.
We do get questions, like crazy, weird questions. So we'll have a good time. It's a lot of fun, yeah. We answer all kinds of stuff. So it's good. You should come. You should come. You should bring Lisa. It'd be a hoot.
Pretty sure after Fondy last night and everything else,
she's not having it
tonight.
I get it.
She was not happy that I did not get home till late when she's got 5 dogs and a baby and... we've got a buddy of mine staying with us right now. So, yeah, we've got a full house.
Well, I don't blame you. I know you wouldn't come anyway. So just
I would. I've thought about it before, but it's not going to be on a weekday night after
your
this
show's,
week.
When's the show again? It's tonight?
It's tonight. Yeah. It's tonight. It starts at 8 o'clock. Doors.
Nick, you hooking up a date so you can ask questions after?
Doors at like 7 or 7:30. But, yeah, come tonight. Even if you don't win tickets, come out. It's a good show. You'll have a lot of fun.
Nick, it's a great date night, and you can ask questions after. Oh, Nick's on
he's on the phone. Yeah, he's trying to pick up. He's trying to get a date.
So that you can go ask questions.
So tell me about this fan.
So, yeah, I teased this a while back.
Yeah.
But just crazy. And again, I hate to use the LeVar Ball terminology, but stay in your lane. And if you don't understand sports, it's probably in your best interest to kind of just defer and stay away. But so there's a girl on Twitter who's watching the game last night, and it's early in the game, and I think the Braves starter's Garcia's got 3 strikeouts. So they put the 3 Ks up on the railing of a suite.
Yeah.
She circles it on Twitter and puts, "I'm disgusted. This is ridiculous, offensive. This needs to be stopped right away." And the more people that try to explain to her, "Hey, by the way, that has nothing to do with the KKK. It's actually got everything to do with how they chart how many strikeouts are in a game. Well, it's still ridiculous and it needs to stop." And then they, you know, basically they said, "Well, you know what? it's part of baseball. Don't you know sports? I don't have time for sports. I'm getting my master's. But then, like, 16 other people take shots at her. And she responds to all 16 of them. And they go, yeah, you're really working hard on that master's because you found a time to respond to every single one of these. And she could not let it die. And it got worse and worse and worse. And then they started going back into her tweets in over the last 12 months and found out she was making racist tweets about, oh, so what if certain rap star gets out of jail? You know he's going to find his way back in real quick and things
like
that. And just, and then she's like, oh, you guys got nothing else to do but go back and it's like, well, once you make stupid, I mean, are you trolling or are you you enjoying this?
Yeah, that's dumb. I like the fact that she called it a sign. She's like really disappointed with this sign at the new Brave Stadium. You stupid ass.
Jesus.
It's just not a sign. I like that she told some one person said, I'm black and this doesn't even offend me. Come on, ma'am. And she's like, you must not care about your race as much as I care about your race. What?
I had the link up, and for some reason, I can't find it right now, but I was reading some of these going, quit while you're like Chuck Knobloch. Quit while you're way behind instead of continuing to take it in the short.
Some guy goes, hopefully there was a fourth strikeout in the game, and then another guy responded to that, said, I think the fourth strikeout was this tweet.
Was this tweet, yeah.
So funny.
It was fantastic.
What a but dumbass.
She just kept, kept trying to respond and digging a deeper hole.
And why is one of them backwards? Is that like something? Is that like the devil? What is that? Oh, God.
And does
hilarious.
It go away after you get the fourth and the fifth one? She goes, no, it just makes it worse. It magnifies it. Oh, my God. Shut the
Too
hell
funny.
Up. All right, Tyler, we see you. We're going to get to you next. You want to talk some Astros? We'll get you in as well as a whole lot more as the show continues to roll on. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. We are the usual suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Call it how it is. Hendrix. I promise I'm swag. I'm there, yo. Practice.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back on The Usual Suspects, and we've been talking about NBA trades and signings and baseball and your Astros, and Tyler wants to get in here on the Astros' need for a starting pitcher. Tyler, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. And I just wanted to touch on the topic of starting pitching. I feel really comfortable, and I know it sounds crazy because everybody used to go after the guy last year, but I feel comfortable with McHugh coming back because he has some experience, and I feel comfortable with Morton coming back. I think if we can get anything without giving up much, you know, farm system, whatever, I think we need a left-handed reliever. That's what we need. I mean, Tony Sipp, I mean, I get scared every time he goes in the game. You know, I'm legit scared, him and Gregerson both, you know, so it's one of those things to where if we feel like we could rely on them, you know, them as in Morton and McHugh. McHugh will be a little bit longer. I also like Jeff Samardzija. Wouldn't mind going out and getting Jeff Samardzija for, you know, a little bit of change. Maybe, you know, the guy for the Twins, totally Santana, you know, or whoever's available, you know, with giving up as little as possible. But I really think we should focus on, you know, more the middle relief. Because when we lost to the Warriors a couple years back, you know, that's what it was. You know, giving up those runs in between when somebody has a bad outing, you know, that fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth inning, you know, we just get rocked, man. But just wanted to hang up, see what you guys had to say.
Appreciate the call, Tyler.
We lost to the Warriors.
Here's the thing about the Astros.
He did say that, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Did I think he said we lost to the Warriors a couple years back. Was that the Royals?
Maybe.
The thing about the Astros versus lefties is you'd be surprised. I was of a similar opinion, and then I started looking into the numbers, and then I saw something during a game that showed the Astros versus left-handed hitters, and this was I think it was towards the beginning of the year, might have been, you know, early May, but it showed what this team and this staff did last year versus lefties, you'd be surprised at how good this bullpen is against Harris and Davinsky and some of these guys against left-handed batters.
They're like a lefty.
Sure, you would like to have a lights-out specialist, just a guy that you know he's unhittable against left-handers. But if that's the only thing that you can really say you need to do is go and get one, you know, left-handed pitcher. I don't know what the hell that is. I just noticed this.
I know
this
is weird. I don't know why it's there.
Yeah, I don't either. But if that's all you need to do is just go get a lefty.
But do you think that's the case? Because, look, to Tyler's point, I have no confidence in Tony Sipp. You know that I have
You're not a fan.
Waning confidence in their Ken Giles experiment as the closer. As much as I've liked Gregerson, he's been spotty. I wish I had more confidence, but then I look across the baseball and I look at Betances and Chapman getting, you know, beaten by the Astros and giving up runs. I look at the dumpster fire that's the Nationals bullpen and go, okay, they're in a better case situation than most in the pen because of Davinsky and guys that can really come in and do their job. But to me, to be really super sure and confident, I'm just going to stick my guns all year long that I still think they should go get one more starter. And to Tyler's point about not giving up too much, look, there's a difference between giving up little and just not giving up anything that hurts you. As long as you don't touch the major league roster and you're giving up prospects, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and if you're going to go out and get a lefty, I made this list. Oh, when did I make this list?
You like your
list?
Guy in Pittsburgh.
22nd. Well, yeah, Tony Watson is a guy that they could look at, but also, Brad Hand, who is a Padre, is, and I haven't checked on him recently, but he has been pitching his ass off for most of the year, and he still carries. Yeah, he's got a 2.36 ERA, and that's another guy. Especially since I think that the Padres are a lot. You know, the Pirates, they're seven back, but
they're
all it's going to
really
take.
Kind of,
it's a weird situation.
On the fence kind of situation.
Yeah, but I you know, it's one of those things where I could see them being sellers, but I could see them saying, you know what, let's not mortgage the future. You know what I mean? We'll go out. Most likely they're going to be sellers, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're not, being only seven back, because maybe they feel like they're just one or two. But if you get rid of a guy like Cole or Watson or whatever, then you're like giving up everything and starting over. And I don't know that they want to do that necessarily.
No, but here's the other thing that I keep saying too, that they...
The Padres, though, are 20 out.
I can
Padres
see
are sellers.
I think that's a legit, because they're sellers.
So Oakland Hand is
sellers.
A guy, is the lefty, and he pitches really well out of the bullpen. In fact, there was one point where Hand was going to be their closer. So, you know, he's a guy that I would look at.
And then if he screws up, you can play sound clips from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Because I don't know if Nick would hit me on the buzzer on that one, so I didn't use the actual quote. But
what?
If Mr. Hand screws up.
Oh.
You Nick, Mr. Hand. Because I won't say the D word.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the other thing. And I've mentioned this before in the last 2 weeks. Now you're seeing other teams having starting pitching issues where they're going to start diving into the market too. That means it's going to get more convoluted. That means prices are going to go up. Demand is going to be higher. Going to be tougher to get the guys that you want to get. So if you are going to get a go, you know, make that move, or you've been contemplating it, the time is more likely now than right as we get up to and right pressing on the deadline, because there's going to be a lot of teams diving in. Because look, once the Dodgers lost Urias, they need to address it possibly. And you know, the Dodgers aren't afraid to go out and give up a ton to get anybody.
No, and he mentioned Santana, which I'm assuming he meant Santana from the Twins. Mm-hmm. The Twins aren't selling.
They're
a game and a half.
Yeah.
They're a game and a half out. And the Royals are a half game out. The Royals aren't selling. I think some people thought that the Royals might be sellers at the deadline. Indians, Royals, and Twins aren't selling. The Tigers are seven out. That might be someone that you might see. Well, you're already seeing rumors about Verlander going somewhere.
The other thing is he mentioned Samardzija. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked about Verlander in the past. Jim Crane doesn't want to take on that much salary, and there is a lot of salary.
Yeah, but I think it would be about control. You know what I mean? Like, if they're going to go out, if they're going to go out and get, that's why Cole is so attractive to so many people, because you get a good young pitcher who you get a couple of years of team control on. And I don't know what Samardzija's contract looks like, but
he just signed a biggie with the Giants.
Well, and if it depends on how much control the team would have for the next couple of years, would I think be what the Astros are looking for. Because remember, the Astros are still building.
Right.
They're not in rebuilding mode, but they're at that point now where they've got a good young core and a good young nucleus, and they're going to want to add to it. And sure, if they got to give up some farmhands to do so, I think they would do that. But for not just to just not in a Randy Johnson situation where they're just renting it for a half a season.
So Marge's contract signed when he signed with the Giants, 5 years, $90 million.
Okay.
$9 million signing bonus, $90 million is all guaranteed. Annual average salary of 18.
Okay,
in,
but
2017.
How many 2017? Okay. Yeah.
His base in 17 is $18 million for this year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cake.
It is. It is.
I mean, considering, and I mean, understandably, you're going to have some problems going forward anyway because you got so many guys that you're going to have to give contracts to, but you know that Keuchel's coming up. You know McCullers is on the horizon.
Right.
So those are issues you got to kind of keep in mind, too.
I tell you, I'd rather have a Cole than a Samardzija at this point for that price and team control. Now, but again, you need the Pirates to be sellers. But Look at teams, and we talked about this before, but I think people were sometimes focused on the wrong teams. You can probably ignore the East. I don't think the Blue Jays are going to be sellers. They might be. They're 9.5 out.
They're sneakily climbing back.
But they're one of those teams where, next year, they could just be having an off year. You know what I mean? They have enough talent there next year where they could compete. But teams like the A's, I don't know that they're going to be, Sonny Gray, I don't know if they want to sell interdivision. But the A's, the Phillies, the Padres, and the Giants, those are the four teams that I think you can count on being sellers.
Yeah.
Everybody else is kind of iffy.
All right, so we will continue to monitor that, but we do seem to talk about that on a pretty frequent basis right now because the Astros are so relevant and because it's not now anymore. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion. They're going to win the division, but it's what they do in the postseason that's going to be the big thing now. And so we'll keep an eye on that. But
you want to talk football when we come back?
It's important. I think we should.
I have something. How much is your favorite NFL team paying players that are no longer on the roster in 2017?
It's good stuff.
Yeah. We can talk about that.
By the way, Nick is jamming right now. The head movements.
What are you doing?
And the dancing he's doing in the studio. Jamming.
You played that stupid mask on, mask off song earlier.
Yeah, at least once a show. Hate only you. When you do the show. But if you're not in the show, I will not play it.
I hate you.
Because you won't be playing it. Because someone else will be playing it. Because more than likely, you'll be him.
Yes.
There you have it. All right, so we got two in the books, one to go. One hour left in the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. Call, text. Although, I don't know. Have you checked text today?
Off and on.
Okay. And also hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.